Ravashal. So now we continue going backwards. Yes. Mixing the food, of course you're going to ask. I told you, if I recall correct what I said 2 weeks ago, you're supposed to do the following. You're supposed to put it in the opposite order. Yogurt, what do you do by yogurt? Yogurt. The way it is. All right, there. No, we didn't. Hello? Opposite order. I don't know what's opposite. Yogurt is just mixing the food. Of course you're going to ask. I told you, if I recall correct what I said 2 weeks ago, you're supposed to do the following. You're supposed to put it in the opposite order. Yogurt, what do you do by yogurt? Yogurt. The way it is. All right, there.
No,
we didn't. Hello? Opposite order. I don't know what's opposite. Yogurt is just, you don't put anything in it. The company puts it in. And the company first puts in, what is it, the company? If I put it in the food first? Yeah, like a great idea. Empty it out. It's a different pot, a different place. Then you put in the yogurt first, then the fruit. They're already backwards, right? It's the opposite of whatever the company does. And then if you do a shinoi, you know, the fingers, the pulse will say, put on your latex gloves, you know. Or you can do X instead of O's. Talk about last time. Okay. So, we have to discuss now a very important, how should I say it? Yeah. You know, of Malachos, which all go together. And those three Malachos are called Zoreh, Boreh, and Merakeh. Those three go together. Zoreh literally is winnowing, Boreh is selecting, and Merakeh is stitching. Three are related to one another. What is Zoreh? We take, you know, the old days they had grain, throw it up in the air, the wind would blow, it would separate the wheat from the chaff. Do that. Who does that? You never do that. So it's a big question. What if you use some other method to enable some other substance to be divided by the wind or by pressure? The most common case, which is that this is what we call an aerosol can. Aerosol cans. Sounds like, looks like Zoreh, right? You go, maybe deodorant or deodorizer or who knows what. And the wind, well, the wind could be the pressure of the nozzle, right? Takes them with a little liquid and makes a big thing out of it. What's it in? May you use an aerosol can or may you not use an aerosol can? That's the question. How does Zoreh? Well, Zoreh, you take something, you throw in the air, the wind sort of blows the wheat and the chaff in different directions. Spreads, you sweep together and spread out. The air you sweep together and spread out. So someone say it's prohibited. However, the halacha is that it is permissible. It's permissible. The reason is as follows. Not so simple. The reason is as follows. That, we paskin along the big, big dispute. What's the nature of these two of Zoreh? We paskin that Zoreh is similar to Boreh and Merakeh. And if it only applies in the case of the Chumash, of the Mishkan, where they separated the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, then it's a prohibition of Zoreh. But in this case, no good or bad. Everything is equally good. So if everything is equally good, or equally bad, depending on how you consider it, there's no prohibition of Zoreh and aerosol cans. It's hard to find a case where you or I would be in violation of Zoreh. I can't imagine a case. You think something? No? Finish. Next. Boreh. So we got to finish the third number of go very fast that way. Boreh is one of the most difficult numbers to discuss. Very difficult. Boreh is permissible, as you probably learned sometime in your careers, if three conditions are present. Three conditions are: number one, bulk is a mnemonic. One, ochel mitoch psolos, the good from the bad. Two, is miyad, for immediate use. It's halachically called the altar, but just for mnemonic purpose, we call it miyad. And the third condition is what we call biyad. biyad, by using your hands. But next week, it's miyad, biyad, and ochel mitoksos. The good from the bad. As opposed to taking the bad from the good, as opposed to later use, as opposed to a kli, a utensil. Now, the obvious question, what's going on over here? If bor is prohibited, what's the difference if you do it with this way or that way or this? What's the difference? If it's prohibited, it's prohibited. Whoever heard selection prohibited, it's prohibited. So how can that be permissible? The answer, the very fundamental one, is just critical. The Torah prohibits what's called bor. It's called derech bereira, the way of selection. The Torah does not prohibit that which it calls derech achila, the way of eating. Often when we eat, we are in effect selected. So, we eat in a manner which is called derech achila, type of eating, it's permissible. I want to just get the fundamentals straight. There are three conditions. And halacha, la halacha, you require all three. And you require all three because only when all three are satisfied is it viewed as derech achila. If one of the conditions is missing, it's viewed as derech bereira. And the logic is clear. If I'm taking good stuff with my hand for immediate use, what am I doing? I'm eating. I've got my hand, put it in my mouth, I'm eating it. The fact it happens to be mixed up with other things, nope, I'm still eating it. So when I reached in, it's called derech achila, it's not called derech bereira. This is basic introduction. Let's go on. Borer means selection. Implies that before you selected, there's what we call a ta'arubit, so it's a mixture. And you're selecting one thing from another from the mixture. However, if we don't view it as a mixture in the first place, then we cannot prohibit you taking one thing from the other as being a violation of the prohibition of selection. In other words, let's say there's a good and a bad. I have, this is the bad. Who wants chocolate? This is the bad. This is the good. Pen. Well, Shabbos can't be bad example. But let's say it was, and I pick up the pen, I need the chalk. Or I pick up the chalk so I can have the pen. Neither is called Borer. But we know why? They're not near each other. They're not even close. One is near the other. That's not called Borer. This is called picking up. Because you understand that not every case is so cut and dry, so clear. In some cases, we're not exactly sure it's considered a mixture, or they're not considered to be a mixture. Not so simple. Not every case is so simple. Criteria for which we measure whether something is a mixture or not are basically two. One is the number of objects, and two is the size of the object. The fewer a number and the larger in size, the less likely we're going to view it as a tyrubus, as a mixture. The greater a number and the smaller in size, the greater chance we will view it as a tyrubus, a mixture. Now, we haven't gone into any details yet, but those are just, again, the general guidelines. To tell you, there are many disputes among the poskim using these criteria, with these criteria, to know what's what. How about ochel and solus, good and bad? We're referring to objective good and bad. The classical case of Borer. You have your grain, and then the grain gets mixed in pebbles. The grain is good, the pebbles are bad. That goes without saying. The grain is good, the pebbles are bad. You take the pebbles away from the grain, that's called borer. You took the solus, you took ochel, you took the bad away from the good. But if both are good objectively, I want one, and I don't want the other. This is also given the stricter restrictions of Borer. For example, look at the classic example one gives. Peas and carrots, raisins and almonds. Note that both of them are pretty small and usually have very many. In in the mixture. So let's say I like peas and have carrots, I like grains and have almonds, or the other way around, makes no difference. They won't mix it together. I'll pick one or the other. Is that considered to be borer? Well, if I'm picking the bad from the good, the answer is yes. That might be considered to be in the category of borer. Even though they're both completely edible, you can sell them for a lot of money. But you don't, for you subjectively, no matter the status of souls, you don't want it. However, the post can say that's only true if it's something which is completely different. In other words, you have peas and carrots, raisins and almonds, two completely different types. But if you have something which basically is one type of food or drink, and it's edible, but if you have a mishigas, you don't want to drink it the way it is, unless you just go through some kind of a selection process. But if push came to shove, if nothing else would be around, you couldn't select it, so you would probably eat it too, or drink it too. Then many posts say it's not considered to be borer. The most common example of this is your kitchen sink. Almost every kitchen sink that exists has a, what do you want to call it, a filter or something, whatever you want to do. You don't just come, the water doesn't come shooting out of this. You ever notice? You look at the kitchen sink? There's something there. What's it there for? I don't know. Keep out certain impurities. I don't know what it does. So since at first glance you can't turn on the water on Shabbos, how do you like that? The chumra of the century. You can't turn on the water after on the I guess it would be if someone, there's probably someone B'nai Brak who's knocking that way. Yeah. You know somebody? No. Oh. What he probably does, he takes off the unscrews before Shabbos. I guess. I never saw anyone unscrew before Shabbos in the United States. I never saw anyone do it. Why? It's Borer. Using a kli. So the answer is presumably because he was drinking. You don't really need it, you know. I had a shadow last week. Apparently some people aren't even satisfied with that which the plumber put in when the house was built. But a more elaborate system. You ever see, I don't know if you've seen it, the water goes through something else, right? Someone asked me, that was there on Shabbos? Well, the answer was yes. I thought to the rabbi who called me, let me ask you a question. This person who puts this on the kitchen sink, and he goes to work, and it's thirsty, it's a water cooler, without the contraption. He drinks the water or not? The answer presumably is yes. Yeah, this is Shagas. So in his house, he wants to make it. Yeah. It's not something which is really, you can't consider it to be a soulless, it's not really a negative in that sense. But therefore, we say that it's not so bad, and I think it's permissible, not kind of against. Again, it's the same reason. Okay, maybe that's the reason. Maybe. But it could be permissible even in a case where you can see. Let's say, for example, this is already a little complicated, depending on the circumstances. Some people want to halach al ma'isa. You have orange juice. And some people want to strain the orange juice. It has certain little particles. B, again, I don't even need to put it in the sock yet, so we'd have to check out the facts, see how it's up to the poll recently. Are people so careful about it, or they don't really care so much about it? Could be that people there care a lot about it. That's why it's not so simple. No, I won't need to argue with the particles. Whoa. That's already a problem. It could be a problem also, you know, even if most people don't care, but if you care very, very much, it could be a problem. This could happen, by the way. You want to put orange juice into a baby bottle, and there, this particles will stuff up the hole in 1 minute, so you have to get rid of the particles. But there, you really don't want it, because they'll just, it's no good for the baby. It could be that prohibited. That's, you have to be careful before you jump to conclusions. But if there be a case where no one cares really about it too much, you see, you want to get rid of the extra particles, and everyone else will just drink it otherwise, it's not so bad. Then it could be, it might be permissible even though you can see it. So I'm not sure if it's based on the fact that it's invisible to the naked eye. I'm not sure if that's the reason. A major dispute probably one of the most important disputes of all in Hilchos Borer, which is also spouse. He's already established the fundamental criteria that ever is considered derech achila, with normal way of eating, is permissible. Normal way of selecting is prohibited. And in order to determine what, so we have the three criteria. Can there be a case where you take the bad away from the good, but nevertheless, it might be considered a normal way of eating? Is that conceivable or is that not conceivable?
Conceivable.
Oh. And it comes up in a number of situations. Famous situation of watermelon pits. Watermelon pits. And similarly, bones and fish.
Peel.
We'll get the peels later for a second. Let's comment on these two situations. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to take the good away from the bad. I guess it's probably possible. You take a fork, eat watermelon, take a fork and a knife, start cutting it up, you just keep, you know, cutting a slice. You know. But no one does that. Not on Shabbos, not during the week. It's not normal. Always you take it, and you just knock it out. Same with fish with the bones. But there are some authorities who maintain that it's permissible. It's not plain miyad, for immediate. This is super immediate. As immediate means, as we shall see soon, for the upcoming meal. It's called immediate. Be it 10 minutes before, maybe half an hour before. Depends on how it will take the selection and what it is, etc. But over here, it's for, I mean immediate. That means it's right away. It's right away. Right away, some suggest that's called derech achila. Who cares? Took away the bad from the good. It's considered derech achila anyway. Others disagree. I was told that one of this very good svarim someone told me at that stage that they wouldn't let it into Bnei Brak because he expressed some measure of leniency on this issue. So, I mean, it's heavy. The Chazanish didn't like it, that's why. That's his town, So, it's a major issue. Mishnah Brewer is not so strict on this. I think the Shemesh Shabbos also, Many of the posts would say, it's a question, sure. So it's really a difficult one. I always tell people it's like this. If you can avoid it, better to avoid it. If you can't avoid it, there's grounds to be lenient, especially if you're feeding children. What are you going to do? So if you personally do it, you can sit there, fork with your knife if possible. You can take the thing into your mouth, and when you're not in fancy company, you said it. But as far as little kids are concerned, that's not an option. It's very little optional. Unless you find a way to take the good from the bad. You hold on to one hand to this, one hand to that, pull on to the other. That'd be a better way to do it. The general rule is that Borer exists either to take bad from good, or if both are objectively good, as I told you before, they're still going to be borer like peas and carrots, but only if they're considered two types. If they're not considered to be two types, then as long as the both parts are edible, we assume that most people assume there's no prohibition of borer. So what's only one problem. What's one type? What's two types? That's the question. A couple of examples. This is Rabbi Eider speaking. If some pieces are burned, so it's considered inferior. It might be considered to be, even if it's one type, it might be considered to be psolus. Although some people can still eat it, just like mama made. But if it's barely burned, we assume that it might be considered soulless anyway. Now what's two types? His example, he considered to be two types. White bread and black bread. honey cake, and sponge cake. Apples and pears, pike and sole, chicken and turkey, roasted and cooked meat. Giving example, he considers to be two types. Types, that if you're picking one from the other, it's a problem. If you only want one, not the other. One type, then it's not really a problem. It's one type. Most poskim say that the white meat and the dark meat of a chicken. Most poskim say that's considered to be one type. Chicken. All right. Give an example, or put other examples as well. Headass, sure enough. Those who want to look at Shmir Shabbos, the second paragraph is all about Borah. All about Borah. I'll go further, one thing I left out. We said before that the permissibility is, in the case where it's, you're taking the good from the bad, permitted use by hand. What if you put your hand in and you get it all wet or dirty? So instead of using your hand, you use a simple spoon or fork. The post will say, that's your hand. You say, you don't want your hand wet, so you use a spoon or a fork. As opposed to a utensil which is used to make selection easier. Yeah, selection, no, you don't need selection of hand easier by the fork or the spoon. So with your hand, it's getting wet, the cold, the dirty. That's considered what the post will call a long hand. A long arm of the Lord. It's really your hand. Slatted spoon, that's a different story. We haven't gotten slatted spoon. That's obviously a different story. Slatted spoon is something which is made for the purpose of selection. A fork, you just pick a piece of meat, a piece of fish, a piece of something. So if you have that object, let's say you want to take something from a liquid. You want to take a piece of meat from the piece of chicken from the chicken soup, for argument's sake. And it's what you want, the soup you don't want. And it's for immediate use. Put it in your hand in the chicken soup. Your mother won't let you. So what do? You take a fork and you put it to the chicken soup. Take out the chicken. That's permissible. That fork doesn't enable you to select the chicken for the soup any better. It's right there in front of you. Listen, you want to get your hands all wet or dirty, or get the soup dirty, whatever it is, you can't do that. So therefore, since it's a matter of etiquette, or getting yourself dirty or discomfort, not a question of making the selection process any easier, not permissible. A vow is a very important question. Yep, I'm sorry. Question, you won't find the answer in this book. There were no style of spinners. It was written 20 years ago. I've heard the question before. I haven't seen the style of spinners. I've heard it, but a number of people have asked me about it. So I have to really get a hold of one. Let's look and see how it works. I can understand a little bit. Yeah, lettuce and water. Now the lettuce and... I mean, the question. Are the lettuce and the water a mixture? Or is the water on top of the lettuce? You just take a towel and wipe it off. Instead of wiping it off, you just... spinning it off. Is that considered a mixture? That's a very good question. Is the water mixed in with the lettuce? Now, 1 second. You do one leaf at a time or 100 leaves at a time?
You use a lot of leaves.
Whoa. You take a whole head of lettuce, put the lettuce in water.
Soak the lettuce in water.
Is it still attached to the head?
No.
Ah, not a head of lettuce.
Take the leaves off.
So all the leaves that we removed from a head of lettuce, they're all put into water, and they were thrown into a, and they're all wet. You want to eat it dry. Let me ask another question. Wouldn't you eat the lettuce wet?
No.
Really? Is it a married cat in a funeka? Really? So if you wouldn't be a style, you take a towel, wipe everything off, and take it out?
I don't know.
Really?
That's not boiling.
Shake it.
You eat what style?
Mm,
it's wet.
I just shake it because it doesn't get dry up.
No, it's wet
anyway. What is it?
No.
This will be faster. What happened before that salad spinach? What they do?
They put them in towels.
Everything's in the paper.
After you wash it and you check it, it's very well.
Let's take a poll. Who eats wet lettuce? Raise your hand. Roma chef. I think the majority. Here's the irony. For those who eat wet lettuce, they can use this talent trick. For them, it's no big deal. For those who will not eat wet lettuce, no matter what, they can't use a salad spinner.
Why?
It's like poison the water. They can't.
Why would anyone use a salad spinner unless they didn't eat wet lettuce?
No.
If you don't mind.
You prefer dry lettuce to wet lettuce.
I mean, so like if they twisted your arm, they asked
you. Your wet lettuce, but that's so bad. So since you would eat the lettuce
wet.
Wow. Very serious. Very serious. Who has a salad spinner in the room? Maybe we can bring it in next week. We'll serve some lettuce. So we have to be fast. Bring in a salad spinner. I never saw what it looks like.
I will bring it.
Remember, bring me a salad spinner. See? Serve lettuce. Check the bug. Okay, I started saying, it's a good question. I'm not sure. Yes? That's a good question. Red and green apples. In this book, he writes, I left that out, for example. He writes over here. Sweet and sour apples are questionable. That's why I left it out. Pepper?
I don't know.
You have stuff like that. Yeah. All apples are one. They're edible. One's red and one's green?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. What's more than 5 years old?
Some people only eat certain things.
A different taste or a different color?
A different taste.
Excuse me. Never eat jelly beans. Ah. See? You're only jelly beans.
Some people only eat specific colors.
Oh, that is a serious matter. If you would, I'm serious.
Pink,
white. If you have
red, pink, white.
Different colored jelly beans, and you only eat the red, not the nothing else. That could be because I would have good in.
There you go.
Okay, so clear. Two different flavors.
Can't breathe.
Okay. This is a serious issue. What about washing fruits on Shabbos?
What is she?
Washing fruits on Shabbos, rinsing fruits on Shabbos. So, why not do that? Because you're removing. Like the other guy, only one kind of jelly bean. What happened to that sound? Yeah. So washing fruits is a potential problem for us. Why? Because you're eliminating the quote dirt on the surface of the fruit, and you're eating the rest of the fruit. Potential problem. So most poskim say as follows: put it in water, that the dirt will either float or sink. This is a time of borer. It's only true for the most poskim. It's really dirt there. However, if it's no real dirt, to give an example, washing off apples or grapes for sanitary or health purposes, he says it's permissible. Water there, and you wanted your apple and your grape, so you would manage, If it's so bad that you literally can't eat it, it's so dirty, not only can you not wash it, you couldn't even rub it off. Take a towel or not start rubbing. He claims that's also considered to be a category of water. However, there were those who disagreed fundamentally, and that's ridiculous. Can you wash dishes on Shabbos? What's between washing dishes and washing apples? That's not a tarubis. What does tarubis mean? Dirt mixed in with good things like the pebbles in the weeds. This is something which is on the outside. So many, I don't know what you learned, make a distinction between an apple. Each apple is separate and distinct. Whatever's outside of the apple is like the dirt on the plate, which is permissible. As opposed to berries. Because berries is like wheat. You take a whole box of blueberries, then you have a potential problem. If there's dirt in the blueberries, that would be inedible. If you wouldn't rub it off or wash it off, then many posts would say it's not allowed. I don't know the fact of blueberries. They're out of season anyway now, but they're going to come back in the summertime. Would you eat blueberries if they weren't washed? I mean, of course, you prefer to wash them.
All fruit.
Apples also is officially a pesticide. So if you wouldn't eat an apple by washing it off, when they sell you the apple, they advertise you can have the apple with no problem. But rubbing is also a problem. Yes? Sure. Apples, we said before, we discussed ochel and psoles and what is considered tarubas or not. We mentioned we take into account numbers and size. The bigger it is, and the fewer they are, the less chance of being borrowed. Here's the case. An apple's big and then few, and there's some dirt, lying around. So then we can perhaps suggest it's not considered borrowed. It's not considered borrowed. It's not a tarubas. It's just this dirt on top of something. There's dirt on the plate. Rinsing it off, it's not called borer in the first place. As opposed to blueberries, if a box has 100 blueberries, and they're all very small. So whatever's in between the blueberries is like the pebbles, which are in between the kernels of grain. Not so simple as blueberry story. And question, strawberries, bigger than blueberries, but not that much bigger. How would you treat strawberries? That's for broccoli, so don't worry about the broccoli. Right, well, it all depends how you buy them. Right? An apple is no dirt on an apple. I never saw dirt on an apple, ever. I see. I was taught to wash off the apple. That's what I was taught when I was a child. You wash off apples. Oh, good upbringing. You wash off apples very often. We didn't have water, so we just take our shirts and we're going to get cleaner or dirtier, but that's how somehow we felt. All those poisons were coming off. Got a little dirt from the shirt, not so bad, but not the poison. Now this could be all the pictures of our imagination. By the way, once we're talking about something, those say all apples are trade. I read about it. All apples have trape wax on them.
So you have to peel it.
Oh, that leads to our next question. Major question. May you peel fruits or vegetables on Shabbos? Is peeling considered a violation of borer or not? Well, according to our analysis, one could argue strongly that peeling a fruit is not considered to be in the category of borer. Why? Once again, there's no tarubis. The peel is on the outside. That's not considered to be in the category of borer. Right? Why should that be considered the category of borer? It's on the outside. It's like washing a dish. Taking the dirt from the outside away. Why should that be considered to be in the category of borer? I'm sorry, yes?
What about
carrots? Same with carrots. Why should peeling a carrot be in the category of borer? Even so, it's on the outside. It's not mixed in, it's on the outside. So there are some positive who say what you probably mean, that since it's always on the outside, because it's so tightly connected organically, we consider it to be one unit, and if we consider it to be borer, even though one is on the outside of the other. They aren't mixed in together. Some suggest. Some great Gaonim suggest that. But I personally feel that there's grounds to assume that it might not be considered to be the category of borer. The tremendous difference that we shall see soon, whether it's borer or not borer. Tremendous differences. Yeah. That's one of the differences.
Now, who's says?
Well, that's be patient.
Oh, I thought it was.
have to introduce something now which I was going to wait till next week, but I can't. Because I have to explain it to you clearly. I can't be talking riddles. There's another malach which fits in over here. You know what I mean?
Dosh,
that's correct. Dosh is literally threshing. Now, in the backwards order that we're going, that comes later, right? You have Boros or Rock, and then you have Dosh, which comes in effect early, which comes in all this later. Dosh is threshing. Now, the next question comes, if we're not going to consider peeling to be the equivalent of... Can you be a test paper, please, leave right now? Let's see what the other thing is. To know what's what. We spoke last week at length about the fact that there were exceptions. There's one case we can come up with in which Borer was permissible. All that, we call it three conditions to be satisfied. Remember them? Old Kalamitok, Solas, Miyad, Biyad, Miyad. You took the good from the bad with your hand, or something which you can remember, an extension of your hand. Say a fork and a spoon, or a knife, just to shake your hands wet or dirty. That's full part of your hand. And that's it beyond for immediate use. We haven't discussed what immediate use. To know what's what. We spoke last week at length about the fact that there were exceptions. There's one case we came up with in which Borer was permissible. All that, we call it three conditions to be satisfied. Remember them? Old Kalamitok, Solas, Miyad, Biyad, Miyad. You took the good from the bad with your hand, or something which you can remember, an extension of your hand. Say a fork and a spoon, or a knife, just to shake your hands wet or dirty. That's full part of your hand. And that's it beyond for immediate use. We haven't discussed what immediate use is yet. We have generalities for the next meal. I'm going to give a little more specific later on. That's what it says. As far as Borer is concerned, and what's the heter? What's the nature of the heter? You shouldn't just think it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai. It makes no sense. Whatever makes no sense, you forget. If you put some logic behind it, you can remember it. The pshat is, that's called derech achil. Well, eating. And that's what there are some authorities you mentioned at the end of the shiur last week who maintain. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you, I made the chuppah. I told you, I ran out for a wedding, came in huffing and puffing, and you can't get through this city this time of the year. Mambish, it took me to get from here, until I actually walked out to the car, it was already 5 after 7. And until I actually walked into the place, it was like closer to 20 after 7. And the chassan had already marched down, and the kala was just marching. I walked in with the kala to the to the restaurant. Baruch Hashem. And then I chus, had a siyata of the shema. Just mentioning this, just reminding them of why I ran out suddenly in the middle last week. It just hit me. So we mentioned at the end of the shiur last week that there are many pasuk to say that it's permissible to take the pits out of the watermelon or the bones out of the fish, even though it doesn't fit the three criteria. How can you do such a thing? It's terrible. You're taking the bad from the good. But some say that it's for what they call miyad lepeh, not just immediate use for the next meal, which is the half an hour from now, 10 minutes from now, or 5 minutes from now, or 1 minute, but 3 seconds from now. Take it out, put it right into my mouth. That's labeled as a derech achil, even though it so happens that because of the technical problems, you have to take the bad from the good. The machlokes is few here. But many posts can say it's okay. So you see there's logic behind this. Oh. That's Borer. Finally, you spent last week a little bit of time. The definition of Borer depends upon the size and upon the number. What's called what we call a taruvis. Because the Borer only is a taruvis. That's very critical. What does taruvis mean? A mixture. Because in the original case in the Mishkan, they had pebbles mixed into wheat. That's a real mixture, pebbles and wheat. And we started talking about the difference in the kind of fruit, right? You wash off the fruit, the apple, so that's not considered to be borer because it's not so much of a taruvah. But if you put little berries, in between that more, but we'll come, try to come back to this a little bit later in detail. What dosh? What is dosh? Dosh is threshing. How do you define dosh as being separate, as being different from boro? Mean? You see threshing? Probably never did in your life. You have grain, you take a big fat thresher, you bang on the grain, and you bang on the grain, this separates the organic connection between the wheat and the chaff. And the next thing which was done afterwards was it was dissolved, throw it up in the air. Once you separate it, the wind can blow the chaff away. If you threw it up in the air before you did dust, what would happen? Up and down. Damn, it's going to go up and come right down again. Because it's a strong organic connection. You first must sever the connection. And after you sever the connection, then you can throw it up into the air. I got to tell you a story. I'm going to take reminds me. Unbelievable. I got something as yesterday, a time when I gave something through email. That's like this. Can I have my part? The email said as follows. It's to somebody who has an email, collect email. One of my talmidim in the yeshiva has a thing which you can get email. But another talmid from Eretz Yisrael writes like this. The message to me, I heard that Rabbi Willig in his class with Stern raised a question about when the summit is fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, if one person is across the Atlantic. So he writes this comment. I did a search in the Bar Ilan response to literature, and please look it up for the Chuvas Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Zion Simon Mem Vav or something like that. I didn't have a chance to look it. So I had the new technology. I got an email message that someone must have gotten word, I don't know how, to Yerushalayim, that he asked this question, and he did a search somewhere, and he got a response back by email, go look it up. I feel guilty. I should have looked it up between yesterday and today. I don't have time. To look for all that. I actually went to look for the volume of the base measure, they didn't have it. Beyond that, I didn't have a chance. So, whoever was kind enough to set this chain in motion, thank you very much, and hope that may look it up, share it, have a chance during the week. Okay, loop technology, Mr. Mann, loop technology. So this was called, this is what's called dosh. Bang it, that's called dosh. Oh. So the question is, what's the difference between Bora and Dosh? That the Dosh is also Bora. No? The same thing. What are you doing? You're smashing it down, you smash it down. It separates what from what? Come on. It separates the wheat from the chaff. Isn't that called Bora too? So I'd like to discuss this against the background of one of the most significant disputes in Hilchos Shabbos, which is peeling vegetables. I'm sure you learned one way in school, and I'm going to tell you a different way. So that's why it's a little exciting. It all starts with a Ramah in Shinchav Aleph Sifri Test, which is based upon the Yerushalmi. The Bavli speaks about someone who was threshing, who was actually crushing garlic. Anyone ever deal with garlic in the kitchen? It's very important. People know more about garlic than I do. You bang, shocking is the pound on the garlic. So the Shalmi says, when you are mafrich, the head of the garlic, mafrich means, we don't know what the word means exactly, there's a violation of what we call dosh, which is what we discussed earlier, the amalak of dosh. And when you are selecting the klipos, what are the klipos? The peel of the garlic, yachai mishum borer. So the two prohibitions, dosh and borer. So the Ramah, as I mentioned to you earlier, says one may not peel garlic or onion, but for immediate use it's permissible. I repeat, for immediate use it's permissible. Not to peel the vegetables for immediate use. So where we find a difference in immediate use and later use? We know, we learned last week by Borek. So therefore the Mepharshim say that if the Ramah means to prohibit the peeling which doesn't Borek, so it's for immediate use, then it's okay. Then I'm going to draw my classic Mepharshim. So, they happen to be discussing that in mind with garlic. I guess I know very little about garlic, but I understand from the Rambam's equation of onions with garlic that garlic is a little bit like onions. I guess.
Yeah.
They both tend to be very strong. Fine. But the Minchas Chinuch asks a question. The Kiveger asked a question before. What happened to Dosh? Do we find anywhere that there's a leniency with respect to Dosh of the Alder? For immediate use, we permit Borah. That we saw last week. But we don't find... Can I write something? Hey, I want to write a letter on Shabbos. No problem. For immediate use. Huh? I want to cook tea. For immediate use. It's ridiculous. Probably some reform writer probably thought of that once along the line. Oh, for immediate use. That's absurd. There's no way to do Chil Shabbos for immediate use. It's only what? The Kotzker. Oh, the Kotzker, the Kotzker. The Kotzker wrote nothing. The Sefer Shabbos wrote hundreds of Tshuvos, but that's one of the Kotzker. I don't know, he's someone who's more famous, I think. I don't know. All the Dali Yisrael. So the Sefer Shabbos signed this Tshuvos called Avnei Nezer, very famous Tshuvos. He was a tremendous gong. He also said called Egle Talbos and Shabbos. Supposed to be in all 39 categories of work. It sort of peters out a little bit towards the end. I mean, the printed one that we have only has the first. Baba Chava Rebbe, who lived 100 years ago.